Good evening. I'm Rick Cottom. Welcome to Your Maryland. In 1848, Henry Granger of Baltimore sent his son to St. Timothy's Hall in Catonsville, hoping that it would provide young George with a good education. But Henry was a realist. Knowing George, he figured the road would be a long one. "I suppose you are fairly engaged in your studies by this time," he wrote after delivering George to the campus. "Nothing is so well calculated to make us contented and happy as to be usefully employed. Study, then, with spirit until your task is done, and then you will enjoy your play much more as you have done your duty." But George hated the place, and not without reason. Schools taught by recitation. Students had to memorize each lesson and recite it aloud in class. What's more, George's course load would stagger a high school student today. In addition to sacred studies, Latin, French, arithmetic, English grammar, composition, geography, history, reading, spelling, writing, and music, he was also graded on worship, decorum, and industry. George and Henry both had trouble spelling, which is not surprising considering that no one had yet written a proper dictionary. "I received your letter and read it with the greater pleasure because the handwriting was excellent and it was generally well expressed, with capitals mostly at the beginning of sentences, and there are fewer words spelt wrong than usual," he once wrote George. "It altogether shows what little pains will do for you. It is no excuse for your spelling incorrectly that you spell words as they sound to you. That would apply only to younger boys, not to those who are studying Latin, and particularly French. If I'm not mistaken, French words are often pronounced entirely different from the manner in which they are spelt." School, like life in the 19th century, contained its share of real hazards. "You will see by the Baltimore Sun of this morning that the cholera has broken out in the almshouse," Henry wrote in July of 1849. "There have been several cases, and we may now every day expect it in the city." Reflecting the state of medical knowledge at the time, Henry believed that the diarrhea brought on by cholera, and that brought on by eating the wrong things, were somehow linked. "Be very cautious and do not eat any unhealthy food, such as green apples or unripe fruit of any kind. Nor should you eat ripe fruit, unless by the advice of a physician. Your ma tells me that you are in the habit of eating green apples. This surprised me very much, for I thought I could rely on your good sense." Winter was another ordeal. Shortly after New Year's, 1850, George complained,
"You have got me out here too soon again. There are not more than half of the boys out here yet. It is very cold out here. We have a stove in the study, but that don't give much heat. The doors are all the time left open by other boys running in and out. I have no blanket, and instead of wrapping myself up in a blanket, I took my overcoat and laid it under me and put my other coat over myself. A good many of the boys have cold, but I have escaped so far and hope to keep so, although I have a chilly feeling and some headache. The eatings are very poor. I can't eat the butter, it is so nasty, and I don't eat much, so you must always send me a bundle on Saturdays when you can't get out. They are very cross out here now, that is, the teachers, and I feel very homesick. I want you to come out next Saturday and bring me some of that pepper candy. I find it very good for my cold. You must excuse my handwriting, for my hand is very cold. The water is as cold as ice that we wash in, and we get cold in the morning. We are cold all day. I am heartily tired of this school, and never could come here another session. To begin, I don't like the teachers. I don't like the school. You know I am sick most all the time. The place don't agree with me, and I have had the headache and feel feverish all the time I have been here. And if you will believe it, I felt some of my difficulty of breathing last night. I have to get lessons in Greek and say them by myself in class. Pray don't think of sending me back next session. Do come out and make up your mind to take me away."
Young George Granger plainly hated life at St. Timothy's Hall, but somehow he got through it and went on to become a model citizen. His father Henry got through it, too.